Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary. It's my pleasure to read God's Word with you, especially on this Sunday. Say it with me. Happy Resurrection Day. It's Sunday, August 10th. Sometimes when I'm preparing and I see how all the verses are connecting, it just gives me excitement, and that is what is happening today. I pray that the Lord would help me to articulate what He is showing me, and that God would give us all a renewed excitement for His Word. Today's scripture for this sermon is Matthew chapter 14. It's the story of the calming of the storm, and the memory verse is verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." This term, "it is I," is the same as saying, "I am." Remember in John's gospel, there are seven I am statements. And in one instance, Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, "Before Abraham was, I am." In other words, I am the self-existent God, pointing back to the conversation between Moses and God in the Old Testament. When Moses says to God, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And what does God say to him? "I am who I am." And so when Jesus calms the storm in this story, He's reminding the disciples, I'm not just human. I am human, but I'm also divine creator of the world. And the cosmic world obeys my voice. Let's say it again, or listen to me say it again. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And then for our passages today, we're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 44 through 56, and then we'll go over to Psalm 29 and read the first couple of verses. As we near the end of Luke's Gospel, we'll be reading today about Jesus' death on the cross and then His burial. Before we read, I want to give you a little summary so you'll know where the passage is going. It mentions the sixth hour, which in Luke's Gospel is noon. The first hour would be 6 a.m., the third hour would be 9 a.m., that's when the crucifixion occurred, and then between the sixth and the ninth hour, there was darkness that came over the earth. At a time when there should be the most light, darkness comes over. This midday, the sun stops shining, it says in Luke's Gospel. This could be seen as a phenomenon, like a natural phenomenon or a supernatural phenomenon, I should say, or metaphorical. I think it could be both. Perhaps it was supernatural that the Lord of the universe caused the sun to stop shining as a picture of the darkness and the judgment on the earth. And also it's metaphorical in that same way that the Lord of the universe was dead, and this signified a certain sense of the ominous nature of what was happening, that the creation was groaning in response. Then the veil in the temple is torn into, a sort of opening up of the way of God and a cessation of the temple being the center point of God's activity on earth. Then we see Jesus praying a prayer of trust, and the centurion making the final remarks, pay attention to what he says. And then finally, the people who were watching beat their breast and went away. Starting in verse 44, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hand I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. There is so much to be said here about this passage, but first I just want us to sit in awe of who Jesus is. That the Lord of the universe went to the cross for us. And then I want us to contemplate how this scripture is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah 53 verse 9 says that they made his grave with the wicked. The two men who were crucified on the cross with him were criminals. And with the rich man in his death, Joseph of Arimathea had this grave, this tomb that had never been used. And although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, even the Roman centurion knew that the Lord of the universe was righteous. And then Amos chapter 8, verse 9. And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. God had been preparing the way all the way back to when Amos was writing his prophecy about the events that were to come in Jesus' crucifixion. And then finally, I think that Peter helps us to understand more fully what is going on in this very moment when he says this in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Let's move on over now to Psalm 29. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2, which teach us to ascribe to the Lord praise because he is creator of all things. If we continue on in the psalm, it talks about his power over all of these things that he has created. We're reminded of that in the memory verse as well, that he is powerful over nature. Here, even in the cross, where it seems as though the Lord is defeated, we know that he will rise again in 3 days. And then in the psalm, we are also reminded that I am who I am, that the Lord of the universe is self-existent. He is not derived or contingent on us. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let's read on verses 3 and 4 at least. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord brings darkness on the land when Jesus is crucified. The Lord breaks the veil of the temple in two from top to bottom. And the Lord gives strength to his people. Look at verse 11. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Thank you for listening along today. Will you pray with me? Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you. We thank you for an opportunity to be together and worship for those who are able, for those in our fellowship and beyond who are not able, who do not have the energy or the immunity to come and be with us. We lift them to you, and we ask your watch care upon them. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders today that you are self-existent, that you are not derived from one of us, that you are the creator and sustainer of all things. And in you, we can put our trust. And so, like Jesus, we pray, Lord, into your hands, we commit our spirits. And we say with the centurion, surely Jesus is the righteous one. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.